Amen. We are starting our series on the city gates, and I have been waiting and I've been pining for this for weeks, and I can hardly wait. So let's jump right in. And it's just so good. God is just so good. Not only is this a sound biblical teaching as we navigate in the Old Testament, but it also serves as an assessment of who we are. We're going to see that in the next number of weeks. And it is also a vision for us going forward. Now, let's just take a couple of minutes to lay out the framework of the biblical context. Can we do that together? Now, Nehemiah and Ezra, maybe you've never even read Nehemiah and Ezra before, but you know what? This is a great opportunity to do that. We're going to learn lots. It's Old Testament books that is sandwiched between Chronicles and Job in the Old Testament, written around 430 BC. So that is 430 years before the birth of Christ. Now, this is very, very significant. When the Jewish exiles were permitted to return to their homeland from captivity in Babylon and Persia. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Being able to, you're permitted to come back. And I thought, I live for the day that we are permitted to come back mask free. And everybody said, now, they came back to a Jerusalem, but it was a Jerusalem that was left in ruins. Ezra was assigned to the task of rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah was assigned to the restoration of the city walls. And you have to know that in the Old Testament, that was huge. The walls around a city. In fact, you hear about that all the time. It's a place of strength and fortification with walls all around the city. Now, before undertaking an enormous, incredibly arduous project, a few things must take place. And the book of Nehemiah charts the course perfectly. And it is cool as we navigate together. When it comes to making a change, if it be with city walls or for anything that God wants, there is four things that are required. I'm sure there's lots more, but today I'm going to talk about four. And I'm a preacher, so it's got to be alliterated. Everything's got to be pa. First thing is it takes a person. Why did it take so long after the exile to rebuild the walls? One commentator remarked, there's two reasons, he says. One is strong political resistance. And the second thing is lack of a leader. Lack of a leader. I would offer today the truth of nothing positive happens unless there is a champion. In the case of the book of Nehemiah, it was a champion with the arduous task of bringing restoration to the city's boundaries. Nehemiah, who was serving as the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, was providentially commissioned to go to Jerusalem, listen to me, and to serve the governor, to serve as governor in the rebuilding of the city walls. Oh, wait till we jump in to see the great truth of application for us. And believe it or not, it was a miracle that only took 52 days. After years of waiting after the exile, when a champion stands, it gets done. Now, church, hear me today. From the beginning of time, God has looked for a people to carry out his plans. God has looked for a person. He has looked for a champion. And what he's looking for is someone that is fat. Now, over Christmas, I've probably gained 7 or 8 pounds. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people have gained weight. But you know, I'm not talking about physical weight. Again, it's an acronym. It's looking for someone who is faithful, someone who is available, and someone who is teachable. And Jesus is asking us today, are we available? Are we faithful? Are we teachable? Is there one to say and step out of the crowd to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. I believe in 2021, there is going to be a team. There is going to be an army. I think we already saw that coming forth. I think that already started. That army is coming forth to say, God, I'm in. I'm in. Use me. The city of Jerusalem would not have been restored if it wasn't for Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, oftentimes we'll say, well, you know, if they weren't willing, someone else would have been. I want to pause there and say, why do we default to, oh, someone will do it? Well, I pose the question, will that someone be me? Now, I don't know if you watched our TNT on Friday, but I took the liberty to sing a Kenny Rogers song, or at least a portion of a Kenny Rogers song, because that is who I am. That is who I am. And I'm going to take the liberty again to sing a Kenny Rogers song, and I believe, or at least a portion of it, and I believe that the application of that speaks powerfully to us this morning. Is everybody ready? You've never heard this song before. I'm not singing Gambler or Lady or anything like that. This was when one of his last albums. My favorite album of Kenny Rogers, and this is my favorite song on that album. Now, I'm no Kenny, and I don't got the but I'm going to do this anyway. There's aluminum cans and cigarette butts lying on the side of the streets. The baseball field in the county park is buried in a blanket of weeds. There's a swastika sprayed from an aerosol can displayed on the overpass. Driving around, it's easy to see this world's going down real fast. Somebody should do something about it. How hard could it be? Somebody should do something about it. Why is it no one can see? Hold on. Followed a couple to Ferguson's Grill. The door swung back in my face. Closed my eyes when I felt the stairs. When I bowed my head to say grace. Watched a table of suits stiff the waitress a tip like they didn't have a nickel to spare. Walked out in the heat, rising on Main Street, but I felt a chill in the air. Somebody should do something about it. How hard can it be? Somebody should do something about it. Why is it no one can see? Somebody should do something about it. How hard can it be? Somebody should do something about it. Maybe that someone is me. Yes, maybe that someone is me. Oh, come on, give the Lord some praise today. Oh, Jesus, could we be the one today to say, I'm in. Let it be me. Let it be me. I got good news for you. It's been said things happen because there's a need. I don't believe that's true, friend. Things happen because people see a need and do something about it. Do something about it. And I believe 2021 is the day, is the hour that we're doing something about it. If it's restoration of marriages, or restoring broken relationships, or if it's an after-school mentoring program, or if it's starting a Celebrate Recovery 12-step. I talked to someone last week after the service, and they were burdened about the under-resourced. Want to bring care packages and a feeding program, whatever it is to meet the need in our city. Because somebody's got to do something about it. Let that somebody be me. Can we echo that sentiment today in our hearts? I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to say it again because I'm so proud of them. Oh, my Father, I'm so proud of them. We are currently seeing the evidence of God, of people stepping in and doing it as we see our new streaming. We're able to be online and to do this, making this more accessible than we ever have before. And I say thank you, media team. Can we thank the media team this morning? Thank you, media team. We love you. And that brings us to the special sauce today. I like special sauce. Non-spicy special sauce. And that is, not only does it take people, it takes a passion. That's how things change. Because someone is impassioned by the need and does something about it. Reading in Nehemiah chapter 1, you're going to see Nehemiah come alive over these next number of weeks. Watch this. Nehemiah said, "They said to me, 'Things are not going well, those who have returned to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble, and it's disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' And when I heard this, I sat down and I wept." Nehemiah was so taken by the burden, it says he fell over prostrate and he wept because of the burden. He was deeply moved, but it wasn't a lament. In itself, it was a lament that led to action. He did something about it. When it comes to rebuilding a wall or rebuilding something in our lives or rebuilding something in our lives, it takes a vision that is birthed in deep desire and an ache for change. I found it very interesting. We heard some in our staff training this week. We were listening to John Maxwell. He says, "I find it very interesting. What we want to change the world, but we don't want to change ourselves. Where does change start? Starts with me. Starts with you and me." This I saw this week as I was preparing the message. This will blow your mind. This is incredible. We're now looking in Nehemiah 5 through 11. And I'm going to read it because it's just so good. And then we're going to look at it just for a moment. "I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven." See, Karuma, I told you this was going to link. "Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family, and I have sinned.'" He owns it. "We have sinned terribly, not by obeying your commands, decrees, regulations that you gave us through the servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you were unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you're exiled to the ends of the earth, I got good news. I'll bring you back to a place I have chosen for my name to be honored. Watch what I noticed this week. This is not just a prayer, but this is actually a perfect model of prayer. I mourned and fasted and prayed to the Lord of heaven. Then I said, this is adoration. O Lord God of heaven, how great and awesome you are who keeps the covenants and unfailing love. It is worship and adoration first, to recognize who he is, to stand and to say, God, you alone are the God of heaven and of earth. We go down to verse 6. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying day and night for your people Israel. And now watch the confession. I confess that we have sinned against you. Even my own family, even me. We've sinned terribly because we're not obeying, because we're disobeying. Adoration, confession, and finally now petition. Now our requests. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now let your requests be before God. And again, impassioned, he says, please remember what you told your servant Moses. And again, we do this often. We pray the scripture. We remind God of his scripture. Does he have a bad memory? No. We're reminding us of his scripture. Be with us. And then finally, verse 10, which is not there, it says, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please, watch this. Verse 11, please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. That was Nehemiah's prayer. And that brings us to the last point. People, passion, prayer, and a plan. This is where the step of a desired outcome sometimes doesn't come to fruition, because yes, there's willingness. Oh, yes, there's heart. There might even be prayer, but there isn't a strategy. And there's no tenacity. One author penned, and it wasn't me. He said he did not act without prayer, and he did not pray without action. Oh, somebody shout. Somebody shout. He didn't act without prayer, and he didn't pray without action. They kind of work in tandem, don't they? Nehemiah accomplished his mission because he was willing. He had a vision. He was a man of prayer, committing it all to God. And he planned his work, and he worked his plan. Oh, come on. And that's what Jesus is calling us today to. Now, here's the plan. Watch the scripture in the next chapter, chapter 2. And you can see the plan unfold. If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territory on the way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressing to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for the house for myself. And the king granted these requests because of the gracious hand of God was on him. That was the prayer that was answered from his prayer that he prayed in chapter 1. He goes on, the king, should I add, had sent along army officers, horsemen to protect me. and I slipped out in the night to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. See, it wasn't just passion. It wasn't just a burning desire. There was a strategy. There was a plan. He was organized, and he followed through with what he said he was going to do. That, my friend, is a leader. And I believe that's what God is doing this day. Prayer. I believe in prayer with everything that I am. And then we put legs to it. Come on. We pray. Oh, we pray. And then we put legs to it. The burdens that are being birthed in this room, the burdens that are being birthed out there with people that are unable to come right now, but are part of this family. Someone came to me yesterday and said, you know what? We can't be there, but we're with you. I want you to know we're with you. Now, if I can have the worship team come on back, and this struck me as I was finishing up preparing this message. We fast forward now to the New Testament, and we listen to what Jesus said when he was challenging the crowds about the commitment level he requires of a disciple. I got to say that again because that's so important. In the New Testament, Jesus is telling a story. He's now preaching. We hear him preaching to the crowds, and he's laying on a line. He's drawn a line in the sand, and he's saying, are you with me or are you not? And he's challenging the crowds about the commitment level that is required to be a follower of Christ. It's not just praying a prayer. It's not just going to church or not going to church for that matter. It's not just saying you're a Christian. It's about, are you in? Watch this. Jesus goes on and he says, don't begin, and I've added this journey with me, until you've counted the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Maybe he was even thinking about Nehemiah when he was saying this to the crowds. Otherwise, you would complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. And that is what people hate, is shame, to be made fun of. So he's inspiring, he's motivating. They would say there's a person who started that building, but he couldn't afford to finish it. What are we doing, church? As a collective body? What are we doing as individuals? What are we doing in our families? Is Jesus burdening you with something right now into this new year? Has he given you a passion to remedy this thing, to fix this thing, to resolve this thing? Take it to prayer. Before you do anything else, take it to prayer. Ask Jesus for help. And he will give you the plan and the strategy. Oh, come on. My goodness, that's good preaching. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Someone stand with me in the house. Whoa! Thank you, Jesus. Yes, stand with me in the house. Oh, Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you are raising up people. You are bringing a passion in the house. Tammy was on fire this morning. Oh, Tammy was on fire. The passion was there. It was to inspire. It was to motivate. It was to say, hey, church, let's worship our God. Let's worship our God. A plan. Prayer and a plan. Now, see it through. See it through. See it through. Bright ideas and fleeting dreams usually end on the vision board because there's no plan and no stick-with-itness. Have you been... Are you weary? Are you tired? You say to God this morning, you say, oh, but Lord, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I pound at the door. I knock at the door. I pound at the door. Jesus is saying to you today, don't give up. Stay with it. Stay the course. Be that person with the passion, with prayer, and with a plan to see it done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We go to our song. Let's just allow Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let this percolate into our heart. Go into the lyrics, please. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. You're speaking, Jesus. You're speaking, Jesus. You're speaking to people in this room. You're speaking to people out there. Oh, oh yeah. Yes, you are. You're speaking. You're inspiring. You're inspiring us. You are our answer, Lord. There it is. There it is. And you're with us, Lord. And you're with us, Lord. Oh, that is who you are. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I worship you, life giver, way maker, miracle worker. We worship you, Lord. Worship you, oh, I worship you, Lord. Here we are. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Come on, come on. Promise keeper, yeah. That's who you are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. That's who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you are. That's it. Bringing a passion, Lord. You're bringing a passion, Lord. You're bringing a passion, Lord. You're bringing a passion, Lord. Oh, you're equipping us, Lord. Your readiness, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak, Jesus. Speak, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is speaking. Church, Jesus is speaking. I believe God is starting to land passions, burdens on our hearts. We see the need. Let us meet the need. Jesus is saying, will you journey with me? Will you ride with me? Will you take my burden, the right one? Will you carry it? Will you be the person with that passion and prayer? Will you have a plan and will you see it through? Lord, Lock on to us this morning. And for each person, Jesus, yes, collective of all of us, but each person with a yes, with a definitive yes in their heart. What can we do today? This week, invite someone to watch us online. Invite someone to come and enjoy us here. So the people can have the opportunity of freedom. Did you hear that? The opportunity of freedom. We don't want to bottle this thing up. We don't want to hoard this thing. Church, we don't want to hoard this thing. We want to give it away. So Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, 2021. With 2020 vision now going forward into our future, have your way in your people, in the body of Christ. And Jesus, as we navigate and see all the angles of all the city gates, Jesus, have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.